Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Your initial impressions of this series now going to 7 games.
I'm impressed. We just had Oasis on the bump music, by the way. That was
well
nice.
Done.
That
well
was
done.
Real solid.
And it wasn't Wonderwall, right?
Okay. No, that was good.
Yeah.
A lot to digest with that game last night. As I told you before, Andy, I was not that surprised because this has been the scrappy, resilient, here we come again Pacers, right? No lead is safe with them, whether it's 3-2 in a series or 75-55 midway through the third quarter. They're going to come clawing back. Been super impressed with them. Obviously, we got to see them firsthand in the Cavs series, and we know a little bit what they're all about. I felt like if Halliburton was able to give them even 15 to 20 good minutes, that would give the team an emotional lift. That certainly seemed to happen. They started poorly, right? I think they've missed their first 4 or 5 threes. It looked bad. The Thunder were kind of doing their thing, but they didn't really seize that moment either and build up any kind of really lead. I applaud Carlisle and the patience he's shown at times in letting his lineups kind of, figure things out on their own. As we mentioned before, huge lift from the guys off their bench. I like the way they play offense. I do think the Thunder will obviously... I think the Thunder actually felt a little overconfident last night, maybe. As Perk mentioned, or whoever it was at halftime, Stephen A. Smith, whatever. They were kind of playing with house money a little bit. We know we can go back home. That's a dangerous way to play, especially against this Pacers team.
I think the thing that I like the most about Indiana is their ability to play defense and how they pressure the entire floor. Like, I think when you first learn to play the game, and if you were playing for an old school coach growing up,
right,
and someone said, okay, well, we're going to play full court press. We are going to press the other team and make sure that they, let's make it awkward for them. And if they're going to get the ball down the floor, then they're going to throw a touchdown pass. And so, it's these little things throughout the game that have super impressed me about Indiana. It's just their ability to pressure the ball full court. And then
the way they go over the top on screens, they're very aggressive up top. I'll give you that. I liked too last night, Andy, sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
The way that, they weren't letting SGA kind of do his thing as easily, right? It seemed like every time he would try that back down move, turn his back a little bit, they had guys digging down. I can remember a couple of plays where McConnell kind of caught him from behind and tied him up, right? So they were, obviously they were going to pay extra attention to him, which is very obvious. Williams is going to get his because that guy is just so good off the dribble from the perimeter, man. He can get to the rim. But then OKC wasn't getting the supplemental scoring that they had gotten from Holmgren and Dort and a few others here in the first couple of games. So, yeah, I'm with you. I like the way the Pacers play defense. I like the way the Thunder play defense. It just wasn't there last night. They just didn't seem to have it. And it felt like, by middle of the third quarter when they were down 17 or whatever, the white flags went up and let's rest up and get home and see if we can take care of it there.
I also have noticed, and Jeff and I have talked about this a lot, that when you look at the difference between these two teams and how they shoot, that the mid-range game is so bizarre to me because I don't get it sometimes. I just don't get it. Now, I'm looking at Indiana last night. They had a mid-range game of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 buckets mid-range, outside the paint.
You don't get it because you don't like it, or you don't get it because...
I like it, and it's one of the reasons Indiana was able to do it last night.
Same.
When you look at what the Thunder did yesterday, I mean, they only made 1 from the free throw line and 2 from the near side. And, and Shea's the guy that does that fallback jumper from the free throw line that never misses.
Push off fallback jumper.
Yes, push off. Yeah. whatever you want to make up the rules. It's just how that part of the game is just so non-existent.
I know. It breaks my heart as well.
But it wasn't last night Indiana. That's the thing.
Well, in a player like Siakam, I mean, he's like Mr. Mid-Range, right? I mean, he'll occasionally stretch out a little bit and let the three go. Same with Turner. They do have guys, big guys that can kind of stretch a defense. But I'm with you. There were a couple plays where Nesmith got the ball like in that 10-foot range, right? Even OKC with a couple of those floaters that you haven't seen from, the big fella through the first few games in this series. But yeah, good all round game by the Pacers. I thought they got in. They finally, once they found their offensive flow, they got it going. You know, they were making a big deal about the final 5 minutes of the first half, and those were huge,
yeah,
right? And
were.
Then you get that Siakam, you know, bucket right at the buzzer. I got to throw one other thing out there, and I know he rubs some people the wrong way. I'm getting the biggest kick out of watching Reggie Miller sitting courtside with his son.
Yeah.
Just having the time of his life. I mean, people got to understand what he means to Indiana basketball cannot be overstated, right? I mean, he is the face of the Indiana Pacers in many ways. And to see him sitting there courtside and celebrating and have a great time, I'm all for it.
I thought it was interesting last night they brought up the ABA championships that they had too.
They did have a good run.
I like that. You know, and I like that. And it makes you think about the origins of the game.
The
and
history
where
of that franchise, right.
And, the history of Indiana basketball too. Because I didn't get the general feeling, especially like when I traveled, that like the Pacers were the all be everything.
The Hoosiers are.
No, without a doubt, right? And then even high school more than Indiana until now, until you get to the playoffs. And Indiana, like the Pacers are kind of, in a great basketball state like Indiana, there are times when the Pacers are third.
Well, and you got Caitlin Clark there now,
oh,
too.
Oh, that's true. Maybe
dropping down the ladder even further, right?
Although now, if they can come back and win game seven, I would think that they'd be the.
Yeah, and I know Jeff and I talked about this when I filled in for you. Thank you for that.
As long as they want to send me a check, you can fill in as many days as you want to.
We talked about how great that venue is. That's a great field house. What a good place to watch
basketball. It's my favorite place in basketball.
You know what? It's right up there for me. Yeah, without a doubt.
I don't know. Can you compare it to anywhere else?
You know, it's more of the new modern type with an old school feel.
Yes,
though,
that's
right?
What makes it. It's like it's a Wrigley that, field of basketball.
It's got that Hinkle field house feel, which is all about Indiana, right? Which is getting everybody right down there on the floor. Yeah, it's really cool.
And is it the outside part? Like the inside of a bowl of a basketball arena is pretty much generic for almost every place you go to.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of how the seating is and where the break is and where they put their suites.
Well, and as you notice with Rocket Arena, they've done a nice job over years of kind of reconfiguring that lower bowl for that very reason, Andy, right? You want to have that intimacy. You want to make it really tough for the opposing team in there, make it as loud as possible, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I've really enjoyed seeing Indiana embrace this. And by the same token, you watch that OKC crowd. First of all, every one of them has got their handout T-shirt on. Like, yes. they all buy in for that. And it's been great. And as I mentioned earlier, for all the, you know, the doubters and the second guessers about, is this good for the NBA, these two small market teams? There's no stars. Nobody's watching, blah, blah, blah. I think everybody's captivated by this. And we got a game seven on Sunday night, and you can't ask for anything better.
Yeah, going back to just being here, I don't know if you remember, and I always found this fascinating until I don't know, maybe it's 5 years, 6 years now that they got rid of it might even be a little bit more than that, when they got rid of those box suites that were down on the floor. Remember those things?
Here.
What were they?
Is it what you're saying here?
Yeah, here.
Yeah.
And do you know why they had those here?
I don't. They still have a couple of them. There's not as many. You're saying behind the scores table there.
No. Well, yeah, the scores table, yes.
Those still exist, okay. Right.
But the ones that were on the ends.
Gotcha.
Remember, so there'd be like 10 rows of floor seats, and then there were flat. Well, like the GM used to sit in the one box.
Well, they
box
still have those
end.
Risers there, though.
They're there, but they don't have those. The
they're
boxes aren't there.
Gotcha.
So do you know why those were still there? This is fascinating.
I don't.
It was a throwover from Richfield. They started in Richfield, and when they decided that they were going to move downtown, they said, hey, we still have to have these things, and that's part of the deal for us to move downtown.
It's kind of cool.
And that's how they ended up moving downtown. Then they were able to get rid of it a couple of years ago.
I think
because they've ended up adding more seats because of it.
I think we've talked about this before. My single favorite thing ever about Richfield is that when the miracle, when the Cavs beat the Celtics, Cleveland fans tore down the baskets.
I don't remember that.
In a very football-esque type of move, right? They stormed the floor and tore down the baskets. Doesn't get any better than that.
No,
what
I don't
a Cleveland
know.
Move.
As long as nobody gets hurt and no one's an idiot.
That's it. Yeah. Well,
and then you know there's always
those
one
days
knucklehead.
Are gone.
Yeah, there's always one knucklehead that wants to sit on the rim. And the next thing you know, you've got
you got trouble.
Yeah, and that's how it happens. All right, let's take a quick phone call on this too. We're talking about last night's game. And then we're also going to get into the fact that, you know, what does this mean for the Cavaliers, and should this NBA Finals have any influence on what you see from the Cavaliers? And then I also bring up another point about Indiana, and are you rooting for them because they beat the Cavs? Mike is in Solon. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Withers. They beat the Bullets in the playoffs.
My bad.
The Celtics. All right.
Are you calm now? Man, that was really burning in your. You're like, oh, I got to tell Withers it was the Bullets, man.
Why did you say something? You're Mr. Cleveland. You should have corrected him.
You know why? Because I trust everything Tom says, and if he's wrong, I know he'd correct himself somewhere down the road.
It's AP! Oh, my God. Hey, anyway, what do you think of that pass by Halliburton going out of bounds with a minute left and a half that got the crowd going crazy?
They were insane It was insane. Mike, thank you. Appreciate it. What'd you think of the pass?
Bullet. Bullets. It was the bullets.
Yeah.
How could I have missed that?
It doesn't matter.
Nah. I'm blaming it on the knee surgery.
Oh, that's true. You should. You're still a little foggy from the knee surgery.
Thanks for the correction.
Good.
My bad. Yeah. You know, I was really interested to see how Halliburton would move. And it looked like he was doing everything he could to kind of keep himself out there for as long as he possibly could, right? He's a terrific player. I think, you know, all the talk and the lead up to the series, actually the lead up to the playoffs about him being voted the most overrated player in the NBA. I think that stuff
six guys. I mean, that's the hard part of that whole thing.
Anonymously too, by the way,
yes,
which is whole other issue. But he's really shown he's got the complete game, can do the spectacular, as Mike mentioned there, can make the big shot, gets his team involved. Not always great on defense, but kind of can get by with the way he plays. Plays aggressively, you know, the whole thing with his dad and what have you. There's been quite a narrative and a storyline about him going forward here. It's been fun to watch.
To be honest, the thing with his dad, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, right?
Dads in general, mean?
Just being? I mean, no one's more vested in a player than their father or mother. You remember when LeBron was playing high school ball around here.
Oh, yeah.
And Gloria was very vested.
I saw her on the court more than once.
Yeah, she would walk around with his Wheaties box. And
do you remember the game at the convention center when Convocation Center?
Mm-hmm.
When Roy Hall cut LeBron from behind?
Yeah, I remember watching that.
The stands emptied onto the floor led by Gloria. Oh, it was crazy.
Boy, Roy was 2 for 2 in that, right? Didn't he in the bowl game in the national championship?
He took Ted Ginn out after.
Yeah, although Roy's doing really well right now. I think he's a motivational speaker. I've seen him.
Is he good for him?
I saw some stuff on social.
He had a nice little career there. Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
One more thing, Washington Bullets.
You're good, man. Let it go.
That's
Don't worry about it.
Bother me.
Indiana, a big winner last night over Oklahoma City. That means we have a game 7 in the NBA Finals. What does that mean for you, Cavalier fans? And by the way, are you rooting for Indiana? Because we saw exactly what Oklahoma City felt last night during the series between the Cavs and the Pacers. We'll talk about that coming up. 216-474-0092.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The first game 7 since your Cleveland Cavaliers came back from, I think it was 3-1 that series. I don't know why. Somebody brought that up the other day, and I always seem to forget.
Oh, what a night. what a summer.
That drum set, Tom, when they were up there, and it was 1-3 on the head. Do you remember this thing? And I'm just like, oh, my God. Unfortunately, it didn't work too well for baseball, but. It did for basketball, didn't it?
Let's reminisce about that summer for a second.
Well, we're 10-year anniversary, so
isn't it unbelievable?
We're coming up on it.
The fact that they won it on Father's Day, right? The way Cleveland was just absolutely moved beyond anything I could have ever imagined. I still remember the greeting the team back at Hopkins on that Monday morning with LeBron coming off with the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt on and... then the parade.
That was after 24 hours in Vegas for those guys.
That's right.
Because they diverted the plane.
Stopover in Vegas. That is a flex. Huh?
That is a major league.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, guys, on the way back to Cleveland, we're going to have a little stopover in Vegas for you.
Did they even bother getting a hotel? I don't even know if they needed one.
God, no.
Probably no.
No. They rolled all night. I've heard a couple of those stories.
Tom, were you there or were you here?
I was not there.
You were here. Okay.
Continues to be one of the sore spots in my career. They couldn't send me back out for game 7. At least the argument they gave me was financially. I mean, the flights were just absolutely insane.
Would they have put you on? Okay. So The NBA had a charter. Yeah. The NBA has a media
charter. The league has a charter, correct.
That you pay for as a media organization. You pay for your seat. So it's not like, and they did decent rates on there.
They did. The only issue there was we had, obviously, two staffers out in the Bay Area. They felt like they wanted to have somebody here recording the reaction of Cleveland.
Yeah, I get it.
Winning. Yeah, I do too now. And, you know, it's the only way that got me through it, Andy, because... And I'll be honest with you, it was an incredible thing to be at the watch party at the arena here because, I mean, you watched Cleveland go through that roller coaster of decades and generations of heartbreak, and for it to finally happen was something I'll never forget.
You've always been able to disassociate yourself from being a fan. And how did you feel at that moment?
Oh, I think I cried a little bit. I think I had to. I mean, my son was there sitting a few sections over from me.
That's why. That's
with all of his friends. It was Father's Day. I thought back about, you know, my dad and my uncles and all those guys that went through, 1954 World Series,
yes,
through all those Browns teams that came up short. You name it. So, it was.
So have you ever tell you my side of this thing?
Go ahead.
So I'm there, right? I'm
right
at the game. And
Oracle Arena.
Yeah, and so I went back into the media area. I wasn't on the floor for the end of the game. I went back into the media area because, you want to make sure you're bearing straight on everything that happened at the end of the game so you can make sure that you ask the right questions and so you're focused on the game and not all of everything that's going next to it.
I love that. Yeah, I know
so,
what you're talking about.
You know, I'd been doing a ton of TV stuff with Windhorse at the time, and so I was standing right next to Brian, and we were in the room, and it was all national folks in there. Wilbon, I think, was sitting right across from us. And I watching the clock tick down. It's 5. It's 4. Oh, my God, we have the ball. 3, 2. And I looked at 00, and I'm like, I can't believe we crossed the finish line. So I'm like, I'm right on the verge. And, like, if you could look at me, you could see this just this volcano of emotion ready to come spewing out of my mouth and through my eyes.
Yeah.
And I heard there was another TV person in town, and I know exactly who it was. I heard them down the hallway screaming at the top of their lungs because they were so excited that the Cavaliers won. I felt exactly the same way. Wendy looks at me as I'm about to explode. He grabs my arm and says, "Not here." And in that moment, I hated what I did for a living. It was that single frame of I was like, and then it's almost like one of those scenes where you get sucked into a vacuum and they're like,
you do, you disassociate. I know.
And then I'm like, oh, I wish I was with my dad. I wish I was with my kids. Yeah. I wish I was with my wife. I wish I was with my brother. I wish I was with my family.
Yeah.
And because the pain we all understood and we all felt at that moment. And, you know, but I got home soon enough and then. The stupidest question I had, I should put this back out on social. Usher was in the locker room afterwards. This is after Richard Jefferson probably drank 5 bottles of champagne, and I listened to him toy.
He was dehydrated.
Oh, he was toying with the reporters that were next to him about retiring.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, "That's it, I'm done. This is the pinnacle." And I'm like, "Richard, you're kidding these guys, right?" And he looks at me, and I'm like, "There's no way he's retiring." And these guys are just like a fish. You know, they just got caught on the hook. Is like, are they all? And then the story after that was that Richard was retiring, but of course he wasn't.
Yeah,
he knew. Oh, I was going to walk away from all that cash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like in that moment, it was just one of those things where you're like, I wish I was at home. And I still like I was kind of mad because I wanted to be the guy who was screaming on the outside. So I waited till I left the arena at the end of the night, and then so the Usher part of it. So I ask Usher, I'm like, "Hey, Usher, what was it?" Because he was in there when the champagne was flowing.
Right, right.
And like an idiot, I say to him, "What was it like to be in this locker room when the champagne was flowing?" That's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah.
And he turns to me, he goes, "Well, you really want to know what it was like?" And I go, "Of course I do. What was that experience like?" And I'm like so focused. He turns, he grabs a bottle of champagne from somebody behind him and just
dumps it over
your head. That was the last time I wore that suit.
Yeah.
But it was worth it. It was totally worth it. Let's take a couple more phone calls on the playoffs, too. Oh, look at this. Jim wants to let it go. Jim, let it go. He said he meant bullets. It's not a big deal. What do you got?
Yeah, no. What tickled me about that series back at that time with that, because if you're
talking
about
the Miracle Richfield, if you're just joining me. Yeah,
yes,
go ahead. Yep.
Yes. And that was only a first round playoff series. That wasn't even like the conference finals, right, or anything. Right. That was just a first round series, and by the time every game in that series, whether they won or they lost, was like no more than like 2 to 3 points. They were all right down to the end.
Right.
You know, like one game was like Bingo Smith hit the shot to win the game. Another one, Dick Snyder hit Game 7 to win the series. And like you said, if you go back and you can Google the video, you'd have thought they just won the NBA Finals because they, I mean, just the floor was, you know, packed and they were tearing down the baskets and all that stuff. Now it's because then they played Boston the following round, and that was when Dave Collins and John Havlicek and all those guys, and I mean, that was a heck of a series too. But if you remember, that was in between there when Jim Jones broke his foot.
Yep.
And then Nate Thurmond finished out, you know, and he ended up having to start. And you just, it's one of those where you always kind of wonder.
It's a great point. We have too many of those, don't we? Stupid rainstorm that pushed, I don't even want to talk about the Cubs series.
Well, yeah, no, that's, screw that. But
thank you, Jim.
But, yep. Sure.
Thank you, appreciate it.
My dad, by the way, worked with Dick Snyder's dad with the Hoover Company.
Really?
How's that for a connection?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Bill is in Parma. Hey, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I really appreciate your work. It's always enlightening, and appreciate you being there today.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Appreciate you.
Because otherwise it would be me, and you'd be like, I can't listen today. It's just Baskin.
I'd be calling in.
Andy, you know better.
No, we know.
But in looking in the future, though, if you look at the way the Indiana Pacers are constructed, at the middle of the season, even at the first of the season, would we have traded our two starting guards for their two starting guards? And the answer probably would be, for most people, no. And if you really look at it, though, those two starting guards for the Indiana Pacers, Halliburton and the other person, they're constructed for a championship team. And our 6'1" guards, who are, I'm not saying they're not excellent players, they're not constructed to be or put in place to be a championship team. On top of it, they're ball centric. They control the ball too much, and they expect to shoot the ball too much. And that's why, I know this sounds radical, I'm just making a statement probably to get a reaction more than anything, but I would see nothing wrong with trading both of our guards and Allen if we could get a more solid defensive, pretty good offensive power forward center, and then two tall guards who were not ball centric. And I know nobody probably in this listening audience agrees with me, but with Mobley has to be the primary focus. And I just wanted to get your response to that.
I just want to make sure that I heard you say this straight, that you would get rid of Allen, Garland, and Mitchell, right? Just making sure, right?
I did you say get that past you, Eddie?
Allen, Garland, and Mitchell, goodbye, right? That's what you're saying? Get rid of all of them?
Well, I think you're going to have to do that in order.
And you're still going to need a guard, right?
Well, you're going to need two guards and a power forward.
Okay.
But I think you need to get at least six foot four, six foot five, six foot six guys, and a guy that can be a more powerful power forward.
Yeah. All right, Bill. Thank you. Bill puts a happy hour sometimes. So I thought
before he got a little off track, I thought Bill made a couple of pretty good observations.
He did.
You know, the first being that Halliburton and Nembhard really complement each other really well, right? And I think that's what Kenny Atkinson was striving for in his first year last season, was trying to figure out, how do I get the best out of Mitchell and Garland together? Now, I think we saw moments where it was really good, and then there were moments where I agree with Bill, and I think you would agree, Andy, that they became too ball dominant in their own ways, and who's going to defer to who and what have you. And I think there's still a little bit of a learning process going on with those two. But I don't disagree with Bill from the standpoint that watching the Pacers makes you think differently about how you can make this Cavaliers current roster work. Now, I'm not saying, and I don't know if I told you this, Andy, I told Jeff last week, I'm one of the few people that would not trade any of the core four. I would hold on to them. I feel like an NBA championship is won from players 5 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incumbent upon the Cavs to figure out how to best complement this nice core that they have right now. I'm not messing with it. Now, don't get me wrong.
So here's the major league question I have is, how can they do it with the restraints of hanging on to those guys?
That's the issue.
I got to tell you, the thing about Mobley, you know, them getting taxed because Mobley is good is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of, that you have a team that's trying to build a roster the right way. And if you want to call the Mitchell trade, I still think it's the right way. I mean, I know they gave up a ton of draft picks to do it, but you're taxing a team because they've got a guy that can play. That's, if you win a bonus, that should not go against your
I don't
cap.
Disagree with
it's
you.
It's ridiculous.
And I think fundamentally and philosophically, the league is going to have to take a deeper look at that, because I think you're right. I think this is going to prevent teams from doing what you would hope they would all do, right?
Right.
Is figure out a way to build themselves into being a championship contender.
No one's Tom, no one's talking about players trying to get together with players so they can go play on their AAU team around the
NBA.
Not
now they are. That was a thing here up until a couple of years ago, right?
But those days are gone.
They fixed that, right? So now you're probably going to have to, you know, reevaluate what this does to the current structure of the league, and then address it and make another move or two. There's no doubt. But, you know, I agree with the caller from the standpoint that the Cavs have to take a deeper look at, how do we get to a championship? What is the path there? Is it with this current backcourt that we have, or can we make a move? Here's the other thing. Everybody talks about, oh, trade Garland. Oh, trade Allen. I'm more concerned about, what do you want in return? What kind of player are you looking for? And if you're going to give up those kinds of players, how is that going to then, affect what you currently have and what you've currently built? So a lot of questions to be answered. I'm glad I'm not the one that's having to pull the triggers on this team in this offseason.
Again, their hands are tied behind their back too, because of this
the second financial constraints. I agree.
Second apron thing.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to be able to change that is by busting up something in the core four, because then you make significant changes to the fiscal part of the roster. But I just,
well, and that Allen contract is movable, right? That's the one that doesn't hurt you that much. But then you're giving up a lot and getting rid of that guy. I know people talk about, okay, offensively he doesn't bring you much. He makes Evan Mobley as good defensively as he is. I mean, that's part of why Evan Mobley is so good defensively, is because Jared Allen is out there as well. I think people forget that too.
You know, the other part of it is, if you look at the Cavaliers and everyone say, well, they can't get out of the second round, all these second round teams have gone on to win championships, and Indiana's knocking on the door for game 7.
Growing process.
So, yeah, you have to ask yourself that question too. Is part of this just a little bit of bad luck, because you did have a team that, you know, rocked the NBA, especially the Eastern Conference, when it came to regular season wins? I know it doesn't mean anything, and it's not very satisfying when you don't see your team in the finals.
I know.
But you have to ask yourself, did they just run into a freight train that wasn't going to be stopped, and it didn't matter who it was, because they have done this to everybody else, and now they have a chance to win a championship. Are you kind of rooting for Indiana to win so you could say, okay, I get it, the Cavaliers lost to the best team in the NBA at the end of the 25 season? 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092, and we're going to talk a little Guardians baseball coming up in the next hour. Jamel White, High Noon, Baskin and Phelps with Tom Withers.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.